when you're trying to maintain. A few weeks of poorly chosen restaurant meals can cause the resurgence of cravings and pack on pounds before you know it. Therefore, it's essential to learn how to follow the principles of the South Beach diet, whether you are eating at home, at a restaurant, or on the go. More than a decade ago, when I first began prescribing the South Beach diet to my heart patients, eating out was a real challenge. Trans fats were hard to avoid. They were in nearly all fried and most processed foods. Few restaurants offered whole grain bread or pasta, and most served up the white, highly refined stuff. If you found yourself in a fast food restaurant, you had to choose between going hungry or filling up on servings of foods laden with bad fats and refined carbs. The world has certainly become a friendlier place for people looking for whole grains and other healthy carbohydrates, and I feel wonderful when magazine and newspaper food editors tell me that the South Beach diet has had a lot to do with that change. It's now not unusual for restaurants and even some fast food chains to offer many different types of bread, including whole grain and whole wheat sourdough. And when it comes to healthy oils, the world has gotten smarter as well. These days, your waiter won't look surprised if you ask for a little olive oil instead of a plate of butter pats. Most chefs will be happy to accommodate your request for fish grilled with olive oil or lemon juice instead of butter. Even more exciting, many restaurants no longer use trans fats for cooking. In some cities like New York, trans fats are banned altogether. Since we first published the South Beach Diet 5 years ago, it's become easier than ever to follow our healthy eating principles in just about any restaurant, whether it offers fast food, ethnic dishes, or gourmet cuisine. Here are some suggestions on how to eat out wisely and well. Scan the menu first. Before selecting a restaurant, review the menu. If all the selections look like they jumped off your foods to avoid list, this place may not be the best choice for you. You can get away with splurges every once in a while when you are on phase 3 and have achieved your weight loss goal, but to get to phase 3, you need to be more careful during phases 1 and 2. Skip the bread. If you're on phase 1, just say no to the bread basket. You don't need it. If you're on phase 2 or 3, you can enjoy a piece of whole grain bread or a whole grain roll on occasion. Have it with olive oil. The fat slows down the absorption of the carbs by your bloodstream. Even on phase 3, if you find yourself tempted to empty the bread basket before you get to the main course, ask the waiter to take it away. If you're dining with friends, simply move it far away from you on the table. Consider your beverages. Skip the mixed drink or cocktail and order a non-alcoholic beverage, such as water, club soda with a twist, diet soda, or unsweetened iced tea. You can have a glass of red or white wine with dinner if you're on phase 2 or 3, but if you start drinking too early in the evening, you may be tempted to have several drinks, and those liquid calories can really add up. Order soup as a first course. I'm big on soup these days. You should be too, because it's a filling way to start a meal. If possible, order a cup as soon as you sit down, so that when you order your entree, you're not feeling ravenous. If you're on phase 1, stick to clear broth or consommé, a plain bean soup or vegetable soup made with chicken or vegetable stock and thickened with pureed vegetables. Have a salad next. Another trick for filling up before the entree comes is to order a big salad of mixed greens after your soup. Ask for olive oil and vinegar on the side. Pretend you're at home. Order your main course the way you would create a healthy meal at home. First, look for lean protein on the menu. Ask for grilled fish or shellfish, white meat chicken or turkey, or a lean cut of beef, such as sirloin or filet mignon. Instead of starchy side dishes, request extra servings of vegetables that have either been steamed or lightly cooked in olive oil or chicken stock. Enjoy your favorite cuisine. Keep in mind that different cuisines may pose different challenges. Do you love French food but worry about the sauces? Are you crazy about Mexican cuisine but wonder about the cheese and chips? Here are some tips on how you can eat at your favorite ethnic restaurants without compromising the principles of the South Beach diet. Mexican. For South Beach dieters, Mexican food can be very good or very bad, depending on the choices you make. For starters, pass on the basket of fried tortilla chips. Skip the fat-laden refried beans and rice. Avoid tacos, tortillas, quesadillas, and other refined carbs, like white rice and corn. On the other hand, fajitas, made with strips of grilled chicken, steak, or better yet, seafood and lots of grilled vegetables, are a great option. If you're on phase one, skip the fajita wrapper and just enjoy the delicious contents. If you're on phase two, try to find a restaurant that offers whole wheat wrappers, or eat just a bite or two of a regular one. Chinese. There are some 40,000 Chinese restaurants in the United States, so chances are you'll be eating in one soon. Authentic Chinese cuisine is very healthy. American Chinese cuisine is quite different from the real thing. People who visit China for the first time are often surprised that the vegetables are served al dente, with little or no sauce, and rice is usually served at the end of the meal, after diners have eaten their fill of other foods. So, tell your waiter you want your Chinese food Chinese style. No heavy sauces, no deep-fried, breaded food, no fried noodles on the table to get you into trouble, no sweet and sour sauce, or sugary hoisin sauce. Pass on the rice if you're on phase one. If you're on phase two or three, ask for brown rice instead of white. Avoid lo mein noodles and other noodles made from wheat and rice flour. Clear soups with vegetables, or any combination of steamed fresh vegetables with small amounts of meat, poultry, or seafood are always good options. Lightly sautéed chicken, beef, or pork with vegetables is also a healthy choice. Ask that your food be cooked without MSG, a food additive that can give some people headaches. Greek and Middle Eastern. Mediterranean restaurants, such as those offering Greek, Turkish, Israeli, or Lebanese cuisine, are great choices. Here, you're likely to find grilled seafood, lamb and chicken, along with chickpeas, fresh vegetables, and salads with small amounts of feta cheese. Sounds like food right out of the pages of the South Beach diet. And indeed, much of our plan is modeled on the healthy Mediterranean diet and lifestyle. Even in this South Beach diet-friendly environment, however, there are some dishes to avoid. If you're still trying to lose weight, pass on casseroles such as moussaka, lamb or beef, eggplant and potatoes, and pastizio, pasta with meat, which are typically made with a high-fat bechamel sauce. If you're on phase three, eat these dishes rarely, as a special treat. French. French cuisine has an undeserved reputation for being bad for dieters. Just look at the people in France. Sure, there's the heavy haute cuisine smothered in cream sauce and butter, which is not diet-friendly. But there is also the lighter, healthier Mediterranean style of French cooking that uses olive oil instead of butter and is abundant in fresh vegetables, fresh fish and shellfish, poultry and salads. If you're dining in a French restaurant, you can't go wrong by ordering fish sautéed in olive oil with a side of vegetables. Enjoy your repast with a glass of red or white wine. Do as the French do. Eat slowly and savor your food. End the meal with a small amount of dessert on occasion, a few strawberries perhaps, or a small piece of dark chocolate. Sounds just like our Phase 3 lifestyle, right? Japanese. It's a safe bet that a South Beach dieter will find something great in a Japanese restaurant. This cuisine is known for its fresh fish, lightly cooked vegetables and grilled meat and poultry entrees. Sushi, Japanese-style raw fish, served with a small amount of rice, has become one of the most popular foods in the world. You can enjoy sushi on phase two if you ask for it with brown rice, a staple in many Japanese restaurants these days. Or request a rice-free roll. If you are on phase one, Stick to the rice-free rolls or sashimi. Thin slices of raw fish served without rice. Tofu dishes are usually good choices, but steer clear of tempura or deep-fried foods. And even though teriyaki dishes are grilled, the sauce is often loaded with sugar. If you love teriyaki, you can enjoy it occasionally on Phase 3, but not on Phases 1 or 2. On Phases 2 and 3, you can also enjoy soba noodles in moderation. Unlike most Japanese noodles, which are made from wheat and rice flour, soba noodles are made from buckwheat. Most Japanese restaurants also offer edamame, seaweed salads, and stir-fried or steamed vegetables, making it easy for you to have your 2 cups of veggies with your meal. Indian. Indian cuisine offers some terrific options for South Beach dieters. Thanks to clever cooking techniques and the liberal use of spices, the same lean protein, good carbs, and good fats you've been eating every day take on an exciting new flavor in the hands of an Indian chef. Try the tandoori-style dishes, in which fish, poultry, meat, and/or vegetables are roasted at very high temperatures in a clay oven. Other good choices include dal, a dish made with lentils or various other kinds of beans, raitas, yogurt-based sauces, vegetable salads, curries, and masala-style dishes made with sautéed tomatoes and onions. Many Indian restaurants serve the meal with white basmati rice. Ask your waiter not to bring it, or ask if they have brown basmati. You should also avoid Indian breads such as puri, a puffy, deep-fried flatbread, or naan, which is baked but still typically high in refined carbs. Indian appetizers, such as samosas, triangular fried pastries filled with vegetables, are also off-limits. And be sure to steer clear of dishes cooked with butter and cream. Italian. To many Americans, Italian food means a heaping plate of lasagna, manicotti, or some other pasta, or a large pepperoni pizza. To Italians, Italian food means starting the meal with a big salad and having a small, and I do mean small, appetizer portion of pasta, followed by grilled chicken or seafood with lots of vegetables. By now you know which version of Italian food works better for the South Beach dieter. If you are on Phase 1, skip the bread and pasta and eat just the salad, veggies, and lean fish or chicken. If you're on Phase 2, you can enjoy a piece of whole grain bread and even order a small portion of whole wheat pasta with tomato sauce for an appetizer. Don't order anything fried or breaded. If you want to eat dessert like an Italian, and you're on Phase 2, order some fresh fruit and a small slice of Parmesan cheese. If your version of Italian is more pizzeria than trattoria, don't despair. Today, many restaurants offer crispy, thin-crust pizza. When you have the option, ask for a whole wheat crust and low-fat mozzarella cheese. Avoid high-fat toppings, such as sausage, meatballs, or pepperoni. Instead, request mushrooms, spinach, or other vegetables. Even better, order a salad slice, a thin crust topped with salad, and a little low-fat cheese. Fast food tips. Many fast food restaurants now offer healthful alternatives to their normal fare, including meal-size salads, skip the croutons, grilled or rotisserie chicken, and veggie burgers that are lower in fat than the usual hamburger and fries. Drink diet soda, seltzer, or water instead of sugary soda. The beauty of the South Beach diet is that it doesn't require special foods and is adaptable to virtually any cuisine. If you follow the guidelines suggested above, you'll be able to find a healthy, satisfying, and delicious meal in most restaurants in the United States and around the world. When you're traveling. As someone who travels often for work, I understand that staying on any diet can be a challenge when you're on the road. Work-related stress, time zone changes, and shifts in your eating and sleeping schedule can be very disruptive. Not to mention the frustration of getting stuck on a tarmac for hours. All is not lost. With a little advanced planning, most people find that they can follow the South Beach diet on the road almost as easily as if they were at home. The first step is anticipating where you're likely to run into trouble. and for many people, that could be in the first few hours after leaving home. In my experience, airport terminals and airplanes can be dangerous territory for dieters. With the combination of long security lines and more frequent delays, air travel has become very stressful. Add to that the fact that many airlines have cut back on food choices and, instead of offering meals or even a sandwich, now hand out, and charge for, chips, candy bars, and cookies. If you're not careful, you could be headed for big trouble before you've even reached your destination. Depending on the airport, you may be able to buy an acceptable meal, such as a salad, low-fat or non-fat yogurt, or a sandwich on whole-grain bread before boarding the plane. Also, be on the lookout for healthy snacks, like a small package of dry roasted nuts, or some low-fat cheese. If you're not sure that you'll be able to find healthy foods, bring your own. Security will confiscate drinks before you get through the scanners, but they won't take your food. Having healthy food on hand is critical if you are on phase one and need to be eating primarily lean protein, vegetables, legumes, and low-fat dairy. So, before you leave home, put some washed, cut-up veggies in a plastic bag, and throw in a few pieces of string cheese or some spreadable low-fat cheese wedges, a handful of nuts, and some lean ham or turkey slices. Eat your snacks before you get ravenous, so you're not tempted to grab the first thing that comes your way. If you're on phase two or three, you can pack a white meat turkey, reduced-fat ham, or a natural peanut butter sandwich on whole-grain bread, and a piece of fruit or two, along with some reduced-fat cheese and cut-up vegetables. Or buy a low-fat, plain, or artificially sweetened yogurt before boarding. Hotel rooms with minibars stuffed with candy and chips can also spell big trouble. Don't even open the minibar, not even just to look. If you're hungry, check out the room service menu or go down to the hotel restaurant, where you will definitely find something better to eat. Pretend you're at home and order something that closely resembles what you would normally eat for dinner. My favorite on-the-road meals include Caesar salad with grilled chicken. Ask the kitchen to hold those fried white bread croutons and dressing on the side. Grilled salmon with vegetables or a turkey burger with a big salad and olive oil and vinegar on the side. My point is, you don't have to order the cheeseburger and fries. If you do, you won't respect yourself in the morning. It's also important to try to keep up with your fitness routine when you're traveling. Besides burning calories, it will help motivate you to stick with your diet, and it's a great stress reliever. Fortunately, you can do our total body workout right in your hotel room. Interval walking may be a bit trickier to accomplish. Depending on where you're staying, you may not be able to walk outdoors, but many hotels have gyms with cardio equipment such as treadmills, stationary bikes, or elliptical trainers. If you can, try to stay in a hotel that has a gym. I give a few suggestions for doing interval cardio with and without a machine in interval training indoors earlier in this program. Remember that even if you miss a few workout sessions, it's not the end of the world. When you get back home, you'll pick up where you left off. Phase 1. Losing the cravings. Do you have 10 or more pounds to lose? Do you have food cravings for refined starches and sugar? If you replied yes to either question, phase 1 is for you. If you answered no to both questions, you can begin the diet with phase 2. Phase 1 is the most restrictive phase of the diet, but it's also the shortest, lasting only 2 weeks. During phase 1, you will not eat any starches or sugary foods. No refined white bread, pasta, or rice. No cakes, cookies, or pastries. No beer or alcohol of any kind. Not even any whole grains or whole fruits. Two good carbohydrates that I reintroduce on phase 2. Fruits, and especially fruit juices, can be high in natural sugars, and even whole grains can be a problem when you're trying to stabilize your blood sugar and eliminate the cravings that caused you trouble in the past. By eliminating problem foods, phase 1 allows you to gain control over your food choices. Although this may seem hard at first, remember that this phase is only 2 weeks long, after which you'll be adding many of these foods back into your diet. In fact, phase one may not be as difficult as you expect, because you're not going to be hungry. After the first couple of days, most dieters find it fairly easy. During phase one, you'll eat plenty of healthy food, including lean protein, fish and shellfish, skinless white meat poultry, and lean cuts of meat, high-fiber vegetables, nuts, reduced-fat cheeses, eggs, low-fat dairy, and good unsaturated fats, such as extra virgin olive oil and canola oil. No, you won't have to eat your salads dry. You'll enjoy three satisfying meals a day, plus two snacks, and you'll even have some high-protein, low-sugar desserts, such as the ricotta cheesecake with lemon drizzle and pine nuts in the Phase 1 recipes. Snacks are required on Phase 1 and should be eaten 1 to 2 hours after a meal or an hour before your cravings typically strike. The goal is to fight hunger before it hits, because if you let yourself get too famished, you'll have a greater tendency to overeat. The best snack is one that combines some protein and some high-fiber vegetables. For example, you might have some lean white meat turkey, fat-free or reduced-fat cheese, plain non-fat or low-fat yogurt with a handful of nuts, or some hummus with some celery sticks, or bell pepper slices. By the end of 2 short weeks, there will be a real difference in how you look and feel. Most people lose weight fairly quickly on phase one, especially in their bellies. While quick weight loss is a strong motivator, it's not the primary goal of phase one. This phase is designed to banish your food cravings so that you can start phase two with a clean slate. You'll be well on the way to making good food choices most of the time, which is what the South Beach diet is all about. For the most part, by the end of phase one, your cravings will be gone. You'll feel lighter, and your clothes will fit a lot better. On the following pages, we provide a list of foods to enjoy and foods to avoid during this phase, as well as 14 days of sample meal plans for phase one. To support the meal plans, we've developed plenty of delicious, new, quick and easy recipes, many of them time-saving one-dish meals, and we've included some of your all-time favorite recipes as well. In addition, there are a number of recipes developed for the Phase 2 meal plans that you can enjoy. We have provided a note at the end of the Phase 2 recipes where this pertains. The wide variety on the Foods to Enjoy list allows you to mix and match foods to fit your taste preferences. For example, if you don't like ham in your omelet, which I recommend on day 1, substitute salmon or vegetables. Not a fan of cod on day 6? Substitute another firm, white-fleshed fish, like halibut. These sample meal plans really are meant to be guidelines, and you should adjust them to suit your personal tastes. Later, you'll find answers to some of the questions our nutritionists and I are most commonly asked about Phase 1. If you have additional questions, it's likely you'll find the answers on our website, southbeachdiet.com. As I explained in Part 2, adding daily exercise to Phase 1 of the diet will certainly help move your weight loss along faster. Successful South Beach dieters tell us that when they start to lose weight on Phase 1, they feel so much lighter and have so much more energy that they're inspired to become even more active. They not only walk more, but are more motivated to pursue other forms of regular exercise as well. Therefore, as you embark on Phase 1 of the diet, I urge you to also embark on Phase 1 of our new 3-phase South Beach Supercharged Fitness Program. You will certainly lose more weight faster if you're active on a regular basis. Phase 1 of the diet may be the hardest for you, but you'll find that the Phase 1 fitness program is the easiest. What they have in common is that both make you leaner and healthier. Meal plans and recipes for phases 1 and 2, along with lists of foods to enjoy, foods to avoid on phase 1, and foods to reintroduce on phase 2, are on discs 7 through 9 of this audiobook. For your convenience, disc 7 is an enhanced CD with viewable PDF versions of meal plans and recipes from the audiobook. Dr. Agatston answers your questions about Phase 1. Here are the answers to some of the questions that our nutritionists and I are most often asked by dieters who are on Phase 1. I'm finding the first few days of Phase 1 to be very difficult. What can I do to make things easier? When you say you're having difficulty with Phase 1, I presume you're missing the briefly energizing surge in blood sugar caused by eating refined and sugary carbs. You may be feeling a bit sluggish and out of sorts as you stabilize your blood sugar. It can take your body a few days to adjust to this new and healthier way of eating, but if you follow the Phase 1 guidelines correctly, you can make it easier on yourself. Make sure that you are adequately satisfying your hunger with the right foods, including lean protein and plenty of vegetables, at every meal, including breakfast, and be sure you're hydrated. I'm not talking about overstuffing yourself, but do eat until you are comfortably full. If you're still craving that donut you used to eat mid-morning, be sure to have a mid-morning snack that includes some fiber and protein before the cravings for the donut set in. Ditto for the timing on your mid-afternoon snack. Strategic snacking is especially important when starting the diet. Studies show that it takes relatively few calories to prevent cravings, but many more to satisfy them once they occur. The quality of calories in your satisfying meals and snacks, along with a dessert that contains protein, should help keep your hunger at bay. But if you find you need something else to satisfy your cravings, try one of the 75 to 100 calorie sweet treats mentioned earlier. Many of our dieters have said that having an occasional sweet treat satisfied their need for more of an indulgence. Also, remember that exercise is a dieter's best friend. It can help stabilize your blood sugar, plus it releases brain chemicals called endorphins that regulate your stress hormones so you feel happier. If your cravings are starting to get the best of you, go out and do your fast-walking cardio intervals for the day. You'll burn fat and calories faster and see quicker weight loss. These positive results will get you all the more motivated to keep going. Your cravings will subside within a few days, and in just 2 weeks, you're on Phase 2. I'm doing so well on Phase 1. Why can't I stay on it indefinitely? There are two types of people on the South Beach diet. Those who cannot wait to start Phase 2, see above, and those who never want to see Phase 1 end. Why are some people so enamored with Phase 1? The reason is that it's simple and to the point. You don't have to do a lot of thinking about food choices. You're basically eating lean protein, high-fiber legumes, low-fat dairy, good fats, including some nuts, and plenty of vegetables. Those highly processed, refined carbs that were your downfall are out of sight and, within a few days, out of mind, at least for most people. You're encouraged to eat until you're full and snack before you get hungry. And every time you step on the scale, you get a big grin on your face because those unwanted pounds and fat are just melting away. So it's not surprising to me that Phase 1 fans often ask, "If I'm doing so well on Phase 1, why do I have to move on to Phase 2? Phase 1 is not meant to be a long-term eating plan. Its dual goals are to jumpstart weight loss for people who have 10 or more pounds to lose, thus providing immediate positive reinforcement, and to control swings in blood sugar and eliminate cravings for sugar and refined starches. Phase 1 can also have a positive effect on sugar in people with pre-diabetes. In just 2 weeks, you should have achieved these two goals and be ready to move on. Once your sugar and cravings are under control, there's a key reason to go on to Phase 2. We don't want you to miss out on the myriad vitamins, minerals, and other nutrients that come from reintroducing whole fruits and whole grains to your diet, not to mention the added fiber. As I discussed in Chapter 7, these foods contain thousands of phytochemicals that protect your body against a host of diseases, including heart disease and cancer. If you were to continue indefinitely on Phase 1 and deny yourself these foods, you would not be learning how to make good food choices in the real world. More important, you'd be missing out on some of the best medicine nature has to offer. In addition, If you were to continue with the smaller palette of foods recommended on Phase 1, your diet would get dull over the long haul. And once you're bored, you're much more likely to revert to your old eating habits. For the diet to truly become a lifestyle, one that allows you to sustain weight loss and garner all the related health benefits, there has to be variety and satisfaction in your eating plan. That's another reason why we move you on to Phase 2 so quickly. Remember, it may take you longer to lose weight by following the three phases of our diet, but the chances of keeping that weight off are far better. Should I be taking a fiber supplement? You may be asking this question because on many diets, especially the very high-protein diets, dieters become constipated and often require fiber supplements. This is so common that fiber supplements are actually recommended on many of these diets. This is not the case with the South Beach diet. Even on Phase 1, when you aren't eating whole grains, you're still eating lots of high-fiber vegetables and legumes, so you should be fine. Some people do, however, find that without grains, they suffer from constipation. In that case, a fiber supplement could help restore normal bowel function. Fiber supplements such as plant-derived psyllium or synthetic methylcellulose or polycarbophyll are safe and effective. Just be sure to take them with plenty of water. I'm on Phase 1 and having really bad headaches. Is this common? And do you have any recommendations? Although it's not common, some people do experience headaches on Phase 1. There are a few possible causes. First, are you eating all your meals and snacks when you're supposed to? Skipping meals or snacks could cause your blood sugar to dip too low, triggering headaches, which leads to my second question, are you eating enough? Many new dieters mistakenly believe that the only way to succeed on Phase 1 is to starve themselves. Nothing could be further from the truth. If you're famished and headachy, you're not likely to stick with the program. We want you to eat normal portions and not leave the table hungry. Also, if you've severely limited your caffeine intake, you can have caffeine, just don't go overboard. You may be experiencing caffeine withdrawal headaches. Try adding a cup or two of caffeinated coffee back into your diet in the morning and see if your headaches subside. With two kids in college, my husband and I are on a tight budget for a few years. I am thinking of going on the diet, but wonder if it's going to be expensive. Like many people, you may assume that a diet rich in fruits and vegetables is way more expensive than eating processed food, fast food, or junk food. There's no question that, ounce for ounce, some fruits and vegetables will cost more than the 90-cent fast food special. But you need to consider the cost to your health in not eating these healthy foods. Surprisingly, there hasn't been a lot of research done in this country about the dollar-for-dollar cost of fast food versus fresh. But a recent study cited in the Journal of the American Dietetic Association did catch my eye. It showed that among older patients, there was at least a $2,000 a year savings in Medicare costs among participants with a higher intake of fruits and vegetables. While this study was done on an older population, I can assure you that eating a healthy diet saves on doctor bills for people of all ages, including your college-age kids. You can adapt the South Beach diet to most budgets with very little effort. Our Phase 1 Foods to Enjoy list offers a wide range of choices, from pricier cuts of meat and specialty produce to more economical options. For example, you can pass on filet mignon and satisfy your protein needs with less expensive bottom round, flank steak, extra lean chopped beef, or white meat chicken or turkey. Instead of fresh tuna, choose canned chunk light tuna in water. As far as fresh vegetables go, they are actually less expensive than many packaged and processed foods. To keep things interesting, we do recommend that you occasionally try different types of vegetables, such as hearts of palm or broccoli rabe, or interesting salad greens, such as endive, radicchio, or frisée. But if you find that these items are too costly, you can substitute any type of comparable vegetable. Adding whole grains, once you're on phase two, won't be appreciably more expensive either. Most major supermarkets, big box stores, price clubs, and health food stores now offer an array of whole grain products at very reasonable prices. And, of course, high-fiber dried beans, chickpeas, lentils, and other legumes, which we recommend on all phases of the diet, are among the most reasonably priced products in the supermarket today. Cook up a big pot of bean or lentil soup, it will cost you less than a dollar a serving. Phase 2. Achieving your health and weight loss goals. If you have fewer than 10 pounds to lose and don't have food cravings, you can begin the diet on phase 2. If you've been on phase 1 for 2 weeks and your cravings have resolved, you should now begin phase 2. Your weight loss will be slower than it was on phase 1, but most people continue losing 1 to 2 pounds a week if they follow the plan correctly. This gradual weight loss is not only expected, it's healthy. And it's the transition of turning the diet into a lifestyle. If you were to continue to lose weight rapidly on phase 2, you could be losing lean muscle mass, which can ultimately slow your metabolism. Plus, if you lose weight gradually, it's more likely to stay off over the long term. On phase 2, you can eat everything on the phase 1 foods to enjoy list, as well as some new foods from the foods to reintroduce on phase 2 list. If you're starting on phase 2 rather than phase 1, you'll be eliminating bad fats and highly processed, refined carbohydrates from your diet and eating good fats and the nutrient-dense, high-fiber carbs from wholesome fruits and vegetables and whole grains instead. You'll also be eating lean protein and low-fat dairy. You'll soon find that this is a healthy, satisfying way to eat, and you will steadily lose weight. Yes, on phase 2, you'll be able to have bread and fruit, within reason. You'll gradually reintroduce many of the foods that you were advised to avoid on phase 1, including whole grain breads, whole wheat pasta, and brown rice, as well as most whole fruits and selected root vegetables, such as sweet potatoes, all of which are loaded with beneficial nutrients. You'll notice that a few fruits and vegetables are still off-limits until phase 3. Even then, we recommend that you have them only occasionally. These include fruits that are high in natural sugar, such as watermelon, pineapple, dates, and figs, as well as certain vegetables, such as white potatoes, beets, and corn. In our experience, these foods are likely to trigger cravings in susceptible people. While you may be excited to be on phase 2, don't go wild over the additional choices. One of the biggest mistakes people make is adding too many whole grains, starchy vegetables, and fruits too soon. Even though these are good carbs, they are still higher in sugar than the lean protein and vegetables that form the mainstay of the phase 1 menus. And if, after spending 2 weeks eating a very low-sugar diet, you suddenly flood your system with carbohydrates, even good ones, it can sometimes trigger the same cravings that got you into trouble in the first place. That's why I recommend gradually reintroducing good carbs into your diet. Some people can do it over a 2-week period. Others, especially those who find that they're still getting cravings, need to add carbs even more slowly, ultimately sticking with 2 good starches and 2 fruits indefinitely, or 3 fruits and fewer starches if starchy carbs really stimulate cravings. In addition, if you ever find that you're regaining weight on phase 2, cut back a bit on the total servings of good carbs, or just eat a few bites of these foods and see how it goes. Let me walk you through how to introduce the good carbs gradually. This mirrors the way more carbs are introduced during the 2 weeks of our phase 2 sample meal plans. For purposes of example, we've compressed the carb introduction into 2 weeks. Of course, you can introduce carbs more slowly if you find your weight loss isn't proceeding slowly and steadily. Phase 2, week 1. Days 1 to 7. 1 good starch, 1 piece of fruit each day. Have one starchy carb and a piece of fruit daily the first week. Although the fruits can vary and be added at any meal, we've found that to keep cravings at bay, it's best not to have fruit at breakfast for the first week. Instead, we recommend eating a slice of whole wheat bread or a serving of high-fiber cereal with your egg in the morning. This will help keep your blood sugar levels stable for the rest of the day. Start with one piece of whole fruit, such as an apple, or a serving of berries with lunch. Or eat some fruit with a piece of reduced-fat cheese for your snack. Once again, eating fruit along with protein helps prevent the sugar-induced insulin spike that can trigger food cravings. The gradual introduction of these carbohydrates gives your body the opportunity to adjust to the increase in sugar, and you can monitor your reaction to particular foods. If you find that you're hungry an hour after eating a particular good carb, the next day, try eating a different good carb, preferably one with more fiber. And if you're still hungry during the day, add a little more protein to the mix. Phase 2, Week 2. Day 8. Two good starches, one piece of fruit. If you've done well on Phase 2, Week 1, you are losing weight and have no cravings, start the second week by adding one more good starch to your diet. Stick with one piece of whole fruit. If your cravings are there but minimal, keep trying different good starches and fruits. When you are finally rid of cravings, you can begin to add more good carbs, as directed below. Day 9. Two good starches, two pieces of fruit. If you are fine on day 8 and have no cravings, add a second piece of fruit today. So you are now up to two pieces of fruit and two servings of good starches daily. Days 10 and 11. Three good starches, two pieces of fruit each day. If you're continuing to do fine with the added carbs, you can now add an additional good starch, so you are now eating two pieces of whole fruit and three servings of good starches daily. Days 12 to 14. Three good starches, three pieces of fruit each day. By now, your body should have adjusted to the additional good carbs. We don't limit the amount of good carbs you can eat on Phase 2, but most people will continue to lose weight by sticking with three fruits and three starches daily. Now that you understand the reintroduction of additional carbohydrates, here's something to put cheer in your heart. You'll also be able to enjoy a glass of wine or two with or after a meal, or a light beer on occasion, and you'll have more options for dessert, including the occasional piece of dark chocolate. Keep in mind that Phase 2 is a period of slower but steady weight loss. You're not dropping pounds as quickly as you did on Phase 1. But the trade-off is that you're eating a much more varied diet, one that's full of nutrient-dense, fiber-rich foods, plenty of vitamins, minerals, and phytonutrients, and plenty of delicious flavor combinations. Short-term success is not what the South Beach diet is about. It's about learning to eat well for life. If you stick with Phase 2, there's no question that you will eventually reach your desired weight. Millions of South Beach dieters have already proven that. The really exciting news is that if you adopt the South Beach Supercharged Fitness Program, starting with either the Phase 1 or Phase 2 exercises, depending on your level of fitness, your weight loss will continue to move along steadily as you're eating a wider variety of healthy foods. It's well known that people who don't increase their activity levels while dieting often have more difficulty keeping the weight off long term. Even if you're already exercising, you may need to kick it up a notch to get your metabolism back in high gear. The interval walking program presented in this book, which gradually gets harder as you get fitter, is the perfect way to boost your metabolism so that you burn more fat and calories, not only while you're exercising, but also when you're going about your daily activities, and even when you're sitting at your desk or watching TV. And by doing the total body workout exercises on alternate days, you'll keep your core muscles toned and your body fit and trim. Keep in mind that you will be following the healthy eating principles of Phase 2 until you reach your optimal weight. Later, you'll hear a list of foods to reintroduce on Phase 2, as well as foods to avoid or eat rarely. With this expanded list of healthy choices, plus all of the Phase 1 foods, you should have no trouble finding foods that fit your taste preferences. We've provided 2 weeks of Phase 2 meal plans, which are then followed by delicious recipes for these meal plans. As with the Phase 1 meal plans, these are meant to be suggestions for the types of meals and snacks you might enjoy throughout a day. You are, of course, free to create your own menus as you desire from the allowable foods. You'll notice that some of the new main course recipes we've developed for Phase 2 don't include carbohydrates. That's because you'll be getting your good carbs in the form of the fruits or whole grains you eat for breakfast or snacks, in side dishes, or even for dessert. This means you'll be able to prepare and enjoy these recipes on Phase 1. Dr. Agatston answers your questions about Phase 2. Here are the answers to some of the questions our nutritionists and I are most often asked by dieters on Phase 2. Can I still eat as much protein now that I'm eating more carbohydrates on Phase 2? I don't know how much lean protein you were eating on Phase 1, but I'm sure it was enough to keep you healthy and satisfied. As you know, on the South Beach diet, we don't expect you to count grams of protein or weigh your food on any phase. Now that you're gradually adding satisfying high-fiber whole grains and fruits to your diet on Phase 2, you'll naturally be less hungry, and the amount of lean protein you require to feel full will no doubt be less than you were eating on Phase 1. That said, I encourage you to eat some protein. Fish or shellfish, lean beef or pork, white meat chicken or turkey, or soy protein, for example, along with these good carbs at most meals. Protein helps slow down the digestion of carbohydrates, which means that your body will make less insulin, your sugar swings will be reduced, and you won't crave more food in between meals. I also urge you to eat slowly, savor your food, and really enjoy the variety of foods you'll introduce on Phase 2. If you do this, your focus will no longer be on how much protein you can have, because you'll never be hungry. Another tip, once you're satisfied, push your chair away from the table. It's fine to leave some food on your plate at the end of a meal. As soon as I started Phase 2, I regained some weight. Could I be doing something wrong? Most people move easily from Phase 1 to Phase 2 and continue losing weight, though not as quickly as they did on Phase 1, even when they add good carbs back into their diets. But other people like you have trouble. There are several possible reasons why you are putting on weight. You're eating too many additional carbohydrates too soon. You may be overdoing the new carbohydrates and inadvertently triggering cravings that cause you to overeat. Earlier in the section, Achieving Your Health and Weight Loss Goals, I offer advice on how to gradually add more good carbs back into your diet. You're in a food rut. Sometimes dieters get into the habit of eating the same thing day after day, which can lead to overeating out of boredom. Vary your diet daily, and you'll likely start losing weight again. The Phase 2 meal plans give you plenty of ideas for varied breakfasts, lunches, dinners, and even delicious desserts. You're not savoring every bite. It takes about 20 minutes for your belly to send a message to your brain that you're full and have had enough to eat. If you're eating too fast, you aren't allowing time for this natural feedback mechanism to kick in. You keep eating, thinking you're hungry, when you're actually about to be full. My advice? Start with a big bowl of broth or vegetable soup, then slow down. Enjoy every bite of your meal. Sip a glass of wine if you like. Relax after dinner as well with a cup of tea or coffee. Make dining a pleasant, calming experience. You'll notice that you're eating less and enjoying it more. You're not active enough. I can't emphasize enough the importance of doing regular exercise to keep your metabolism in high gear. The people who run into problems on phase two and ultimately have trouble maintaining their weight loss are often the ones who are the most sedentary. I urge you to listen to our supercharged fitness program earlier in this book. Even if you haven't exercised in a while, this program will ease you into it. And just because you're on phase two of the diet, you don't have to jump into the phase two exercises. Feel free to start with the phase one interval walking program and total body workout to get yourself in shape. Then move on to the phase two exercises when you're ready. I lost weight steadily for the first few months on phase two, but now I've hit a plateau. I still have about 10 pounds to go and am very frustrated. What can I do to start losing weight again? Some people do extremely well on the diet for the first few months, but at some point during phase two, they plateau before reaching their goal. There may be several reasons for this, and you need to figure out the cause of the problem before you can solve it. You've strayed. You need to do some soul searching. Are you still adhering closely enough to the principles of the diet? After some people have been on the diet a while, they start taking their success for granted. They get careless and begin eating too many sugary or starchy foods and bad fats. We don't expect you to be perfect, but if you want to continue to lose weight and keep it off permanently, you do have to follow the principles of the diet most of the time. So give yourself a refresher course. Listen again to the lists of foods to enjoy and foods to avoid for phase one, and study those you can and can't reintroduce on phase two. Review our suggested meal plans, which will show you how to put combinations of foods together in appealing ways. Sometimes it's hard to admit it, but if you're starting to indulge in too many of the foods to avoid too often, you know you will not continue to get the same good results you had in the past. Try to keep track of what you eat. Some people find that keeping a journal of everything they put into their mouths each day helps them avoid that mindless second handful of nuts or extra nibble of cheese the next time they're tempted. You're exercising less. Remember, the best way to recharge your weight loss is to get more exercise. When people first embark on a fitness program, they're wildly enthusiastic and rarely miss a workout. They're scrupulous about fitting exercise into their lives, and they schedule their days accordingly. As time passes, the thrill may wear off. Even people who enjoy working out can get lax and start missing sessions. If you've cut back on exercise or stopped working out altogether, yet you're carefully following the diet principles, then your plateau is likely due to the change in your exercise routine. If you want to jumpstart your weight loss, you should resume your regular exercise routine and increase the intensity of your workout. Take another look at the interval walking program presented in part two. It can be your best friend. That's because it's the best way to keep your metabolism in fat and calorie burning mode all the time. You've reached a healthy weight. It's entirely possible that your weight loss has stalled because you've already reached a healthy weight. If your cholesterol and blood sugar levels have normalized and you aren't experiencing cravings, your desire to lose that extra 10 pounds may be more a matter of cosmetics than health. Now is the time for employing more effective exercise rather than restricting calories, which can lead to yo-yo dieting and further weight gain. Instead of zeroing in on the number on your scale, rev up your exercise routine and try to focus on how much better you really look and feel. I find that when I step on the scale too often, the fluctuations drive me crazy. What's the best way to keep track of my weight? In the course of a day, your weight may go up and down a few pounds depending on how much you've had to eat or to drink or how much fluid you're retaining, water weight. These hour-to-hour fluctuations can cause anxiety, and they are meaningless. Ignore them. The best way to keep track of your progress is to weigh yourself once a week at the same time on the same scale. For most people, first thing in the morning works best. Is the South Beach diet safe for children? I don't recommend the children go on a weight loss diet, except in special situations, as I discuss in Chapter 8. In general, if children make healthy food choices most of the time and get a reasonable amount of physical activity, their weight will take care of itself. There's no question that kids require ample calories and nutrients to develop properly, but they shouldn't be eating empty calories. What I do recommend is that children, along with their parents, follow the principles of the South Beach diet. As early as possible, children should be introduced to an eating style that emphasizes good carbohydrates, fruits and vegetables, good fats, lean protein, low-fat dairy, and high-fiber foods. And of course, kids, like adults, should enjoy an occasional treat. This is a healthy way to eat for life, and it is not only safe for children, but will keep them from developing prediabetes, diabetes, and so many other ailments we're seeing in epidemic proportions in younger and younger people. I have problems with gluten. Phase 1 is fine for me because grains are not allowed, but what about phase 2? Gluten is a protein found in wheat, barley, and rye. An estimated 1% of the U.S. population has gluten sensitivity, also known as celiac disease. When these people eat foods containing gluten, they may experience symptoms ranging from abdominal pain and bloating to unexplained weight loss and neurological problems in severe cases. Gluten sensitivity is caused by elevated levels of antibodies that work against a component of gluten called gliadin. When the anti-gliadin antibody comes into contact with gluten, it causes an inflammatory response in the body. Celiac disease can be diagnosed with a blood test or a biopsy of the small intestine. Anecdotal evidence also suggests that it's possible to get a negative test result for celiac disease and still have some, if not all, of the symptoms of gluten sensitivity. Interestingly, I've heard numerous stories from people who never realized that they were sensitive to gluten until they began phase 1, and then found out how much better they felt when they weren't eating grains containing gluten. Many doctors, myself included, believe there may be subtle forms of gluten sensitivity that are often undetected by these diagnostic tests. The real test is how you feel after you eliminate gluten from your diet. Even if you can't eat foods containing gluten, you can easily follow all the phases of the South Beach diet. You do have to be careful about choosing the right carbohydrates, but you'd have to do that no matter what diet you were on. Fortunately, many gluten-free products sold today at supermarkets and health food stores are compatible with the South Beach diet. For example, you can buy bread, cereal, and even pasta made from brown rice flour that tastes pretty good and contain a decent amount of fiber. You can also eat brown rice and sweet potatoes, or make your own pasta out of spaghetti squash. The crustless vegetable quiche cups to go that we recommend on phase 1 are perfect for you on any phase. Eating lean protein and good fats is also vital, no matter what else you're eating. But beware, there are also gluten-free versions of processed carbs, so be vigilant about reading labels. Steer clear of products that are high in sugar and low in fiber. Gluten is sometimes used as an additive in foods where you'd least expect it, such as in some brands of veggie burgers. So, if you have a gluten problem, you need to be extra careful about checking all food products before buying.
This audiobook has been broken into multiple parts to make the download faster. You have reached the end of a part, but not the end of the complete audiobook. So please check your library for the next part of this audiobook.
The South Beach Diet, Supercharged: Faster Weight Loss and Better Health for Life. By Arthur Agatston, MD, with Joseph Signorelli, PhD. Narrated by the author, with L.J. Ganser and Elizabeth Rogers.
Phase 3. Enjoying the South Beach Diet for Life. Congratulations! You have achieved a healthy weight and are now ready to graduate to the maintenance phase of the diet. You can stay on phase three for the rest of your life because at this point, it's not a diet, it's a lifestyle. Even if you've never had any extra weight to lose, you'll find that adopting our healthy eating principles is a great way to improve your overall health and well-being. For those of you who have been on the diet and achieved your weight loss goals, making good food choices is now second nature. The basic principles you learned on phases 1 and 2 are now ingrained. You will automatically head for the vegetable aisle, readily select whole grain bread for your sandwich, choose fish and shellfish and lean cuts of meat and poultry, and read food labels to check for saturated fats and trans fats as a matter of course. That's why we haven't included sample meal plans or recipes for phase 3 in this book. We know from 5 years of talking with our dieters that by now you are more than capable of putting healthy meals together on your own. That said, we encourage you to use the sample meal plans and all the recipes from phases 1 and 2